Okay. Welcome, everyone, to day three of the conference this year. This is the Common Criteria in Crypto track, and just a few administrative items to go over. Again, we'd like to thank our sponsors, without whose support the event would not be possible. Please take some time to visit the exhibits in the coffee break room. Our first break is at 10:40, and lunch again will be at 12:25. Wi-Fi is provided by the Shaw Center. You find information on page 7 of the agenda as to how to connect. And free Wi-Fi is only available in the lower atrium. The conference presentation slides and audio will be posted to the conference website, and login information again is on page 7 of the agenda. The ICMC is developed by the commercial cryptographic community, and if you're interested in helping to plan next year's ICMC, please let us know and stop by the registration desk out front. Your feedback is important to us. This afternoon we'll be sending you an email with a link to a survey. Please take a moment to let us know about your experience. And Steve Weingart asked me to also make his apologies in case you were trying to access the cryptographic module user forum website. It was apparently the victim, along with a number of other communities and users in Texas, of a heavenly denial of service attack due to the storms that they had in Texas. So our first speaker today is Greg Hills. He joined the Communications Security Establishment in 2007 after a career in the Royal Canadian Air Force, which featured an exchange posting to the National Security Agency working on the cryptographic modernization program. In 2007, he joined CSE, and in May of 2015, he became the Director of Architecture and Technology Assurance at CSE. His responsibilities include providing secure architecture solutions for the designated and medium assurance requirements or environments, as well as the Canadian CMVP and Common Criteria teams. He's going to be talking to us today about securing mobility through the Canadian Medium Assurance Solutions Program. Please join me in welcoming Greg.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for inviting me to speak to you today. As you can see, I've been involved in and around the cryptographic community throughout most of my career. If you were here for the users meetings, CMVP users meetings.
Let's get this technical thing going.
There we go. I remember my quick opening speech on the Monday morning. I said that I remember implementing secure systems or cryptographic systems using the FIPS 140-1, and I was just trying to remember, has it really been around that long? And I went on the internet, and if you can believe everything that you read on the internet, it actually, I think the FIPS 140-1 was officially published in 1995, according to Wikipedia. So yes, I've been using the services of the CMVP and the Common Criteria for quite some time now, and as was mentioned, I was down at NSA as part of their cryptographic modernization program, running and helping develop their Type 1 solutions, which then when I came back to Canada, I was part of the team that stood up the Canadian version of that, so again, involved in implementing the high-grade assurance. So my presentation today is going to be around the problem sets of what faces the Government of Canada and how we address those problem sets by implementing cryptography, going through the various capabilities of implementing Type 1s and using commercial technology. I do have some crib notes here of my team. I do like to ramble. I know we are on a tight time schedule here, so I will try to keep to my speaking notes as much, but please, there will be hopefully time at the end for questions. The three problem sets that within the government that we try to solve by using cryptography, as you can see on the slide here, what we're coining as the basic and medium and high assurance domains. The high assurance domains really is coming from the wartime efforts. We're trying to make sure that we were to secure our highly classified communications, our systems and capabilities. And if you've ever seen the movie The Imagination Game, very great movie, but you know, trying to break those systems as well, the Enigma with the Turing machine, trying to break that. But it really came about securing our communications using type 1 high-grade cryptography, moving that into the radios, but making sure that our top secret environment was protected and secured from our adversaries out there. When commercial technology started coming on board, it was really for a different problem set. As people started doing business, and it was really with the advent of the internet and the technology aids for consumers, it was really the private sector that stood up and said, okay, we need to now protect our information. As consumers are doing transactions with, whether it's with the government or with the consumers out there or with the private sector, they wanted to make sure that their communications were secure, that the information that they were trying to communicate was protected from prying eyes. So it was really the commercial sector that stood up and came out with the commercial technologies to protect that level of information. And if you're within the government context, if you're familiar with the various documentations such as ITSG 33, and the CSC's top 10 for protecting the Canadian government communication networks. And it's really about utilizing those commercial technologies to make sure that the communications that we have or that we do within the government are protected. However, there is a growing business set that we see within the government that lies somewhere in between that basic assurance or the designated domain and the high assurance using type 1 cryptography. And that is the problem set that we're trying to fix with the use of commercial technologies to protect what we're calling our secret information. I don't know how many of you were here, I think most people were, but on Wednesday morning, my boss, Joe Waddington, gave his keynote speech. He was saying that cryptography is ubiquitous. It is basically in everything that we do. He mentioned his BlackBerry, and I said, I've got my BlackBerry, I've got my Android phone, everyone has their chip cards. In almost every single piece of communication that we have in these days, there's some level of cryptography to make sure that our information is protected. Within the Government of Canada, to make sure that our classified information is secured, we have to now look at how we can do that within that medium assurance. As I mentioned on the previous slide, we have the basic assurance, the high assurance. However, within the secret level domain, we have to ensure that the capabilities that we implement are flexible, and that's one of the issues that we have with the high assurance technology, that sometimes we cannot use it. It is not as flexible for deployment, such as there's ITAR restrictions on the equipment. Sometimes it's not cost effective to implement a type 1 technology to protect, say, unclassified or secret level information because of the cost. However, we have to also make sure that the flexibility of the business solutions that we're trying to implement can match the technological advancement of the capabilities that we're trying to implement. And John mentioned that during his speech as well, saying that as we implement the capabilities, we have to keep up with the technological change that is happening within industry. Another issue that we're running into within the medium assurance domain is that we have to share this information outside of, say, the federal government within different jurisdictions. And sometimes it's hard to be able to provide those multi-jurisdictional areas with some of the high-grade equipment. So, what is the medium assurance solutions? It is a way for us to be able to protect our information that we are classifying up to the secret level, to make sure that it is not disclosed, that is not grabbed by our adversaries, because as we're all aware, cyber intrusions are costly. There's been many very public cyber intrusions over the past couple of years within the government, within the private sector. One of the biggest ones in the Canadian government over the last couple of years was with the National Research Council. That is being publicly disclosed now of the cost and how much effort has gone into rebuilding that infrastructure. Down in the U.S. with the Office of Personnel Management. Hi, out there. with the OPM breach, the cost of not only rebuilding that infrastructure within the OPM, but the cost of providing security mechanisms or protective mechanisms to the public. They're paying for financial services to the public for the people that were breached to make sure that they don't get into any financial fraud. So it's costing the U.S. government billions of dollars to fix that breach. A very private one over the last couple of years with Ashley Madison. Very public one and very embarrassing to the people that had accounts on Ashley Madison. So what we are trying to do is make the use of commercial technologies to protect our secret information to be as flexible as we can, where we can't use type 1 technologies because of the inflexibility of that and the cost associated with that, but to make sure that we can do it in a timely manner and make sure that the principles and the solutions that we're using meet the business requirements of the end users. Because it's all about that balancing act between the business requirements and the security requirements. That balancing act is unfortunately always going to be there within any system that you're designing to make sure that you're protecting it correctly. So who are we designing this for? As I mentioned, this talk is going to be geared at the Canadian government. That is who we work for. That is who we provide our advice and guidance to. Our main clients within my group are Treasury Board, Secretariat of Canada, as well as Shared Services of Canada. We work with them very closely to make sure that the systems and the capabilities that we deploy are protected in accordance with the level of information we are trying to secure. We have another area of CSE that works with the Canadian government to protect and to produce and to design the high assurance capabilities, but that is not the problem set that we're going to be talking about here. To help with some of the restrictions, as I mentioned before, within Type 1, as I say, there's ITAR and COMSEC encumbrances, the medium assurance solutions will eliminate the restrictions that we have for cross-border capabilities. We are designing it so that it can be taken outside of Canada, it can be used internationally, it can be used by other levels of government, can be shared with other jurisdictions, provincial, and with other countries. You know, they are using commercial technologies. As I'll go through some of the one use case and the other, we are working with a company here in Canada to produce a secure mobile phone. Lost devices. If you lose a type 1 device, very severe ramifications can be issued with that. However, if you lose a medium assurance solutions, then the disabling of that can be handled via certificate revocation. A much less costly, a much less severe issue than if you lose a type 1 device. So how is it built? It was funny that we were having a conversation this morning out in the booth area. Someone was asking us about the medium assurance solutions and was saying that because he was, I guess, having difficulty saying, that, you know, are you building it as a GOTS, as a government-owned technology system? And we say, no, it's purely commercial. I'm not sure how many here are aware of the U.S. program, which is the Commercial Solutions for Classified. But our Canadian Medium Assurance Solutions program is very similar to that, in that the end goal is to have capabilities that are designed and built using purely commercial technologies. The cornerstones of this capability are the Common Criteria Programs and the CMVP. Any solution, any capability that we design and architect with the components coming out to be built and used within the CMAS program have to be CC and CMVP certified. That is a must for us. Again, if any of you were at the keynote by Joe Waddington on Wednesday, again, it was all about making sure that the capabilities that we design and build and want to send out to the government to secure these can keep up with the technological change. As was mentioned, I was working on the cryptographic modernization program at NSA and here in Canada, that one of the devices that came out of there was a secure mobile phone. Don't know if anyone's used it or if anyone has seen it, but the SGSM, the secure GSM phone, was a type 1 device. Still being used today, but it has not changed since the time it was developed and deployed. It must be at least 10 years ago. So that is a GSM phone, and I think one of my members just told me that here in Canada, Rogers is going to be stopping that service because it is costly for them. No one, I think the U.S. stopped GSM service, I think last year, if I remember right. We've been working with Rogers to maintain that service, but they're stopping it. So that phone will now be fully obsolete. I don't think anywhere in the world you'll be able to go around and use a GSM phone to have that capability. But the problem set that we're trying to solve is that specific issue. It took them years to develop it. It was on a very specific phone with a type 1 device plugged onto the back of it, could not be ported, could not be added onto a new phone. By using commercial technologies, we can adapt to the changing form factors. Like I say, we can, you know, take my phone, my Android phone there, we can adapt to the changing technologies around there, built with the cryptographic modules that are coming out of the CMVP and the common criteria, and make sure that they work and we can port those to other technologies. So as the form factors change, we can adapt with them and bring to market the CMAS solutions and CMAS designs a lot quicker to meet that demand. Another important factor within our CMAS is the supply chain verification. Again, that was part of the conversation that we were having this morning, is that we work very closely with our partners, with the commercial sector, to make sure that we understand exactly where the products are coming from. That is another crucial design aspect of our CMAS program, to make sure that the products that are being developed, that the security is built into it from day one. We don't want to have to take a product that's going through the common criteria, going through the CMVP, depending on the assurance validation for our tailored solutions, finding out that no, there is an issue with the cryptographic implementation through one of the validation programs, and having to go back or having the vendor go back and say they've got to change the design, because that's leading us down into the road of taking way too long for us to get a product to market. So we want to make sure from day one with the supply chain verification that security is built in from day one so that we don't have to waste any time, waste any, like, the vendor's time, waste your time, waste our time to bring the product to market. But it's also important to note that the medium assurance solutions, again, as I mentioned, is for the secret domain. It is not, from a Canadian perspective, it is not to be used in the top secret information area, unless under very specific controls are put in place, but we are designing our solutions for the secret domain. It will also, just to make sure everyone understands, it will not prevent things like the insider threat. We are making sure that the products that go out there are technologically sound to be used for secret information, but it is not a physical device, or it is not to protect anyone from, again, the insider threat of being able to exfiltrate data from the inside of the company. These are technological solutions to stop technological attacks. And also, in order to, for an organization with the government to implement one of these capabilities, they will have to use CSC's reference architecture. We are the ones, we are the design authority. We will be coming up with the reference architecture for the Government of Canada, working with Shared Services Canada, that they will be the implementing the capabilities from an enterprise perspective. But in order for them to have a certified solution through the SANA process, the System Authorization and Authentication process, they will have to ensure they use our reference architecture and design in order for it to be approved for use within their environment. So as I mentioned, that we are working in collaboration. We are not doing this on our own. We can't. No one can do this on their own. You know, as I mentioned on the previous one, we were working with the common criteria for the protection profiles. We were working with the CMVP to make sure that the cryptographic modules are validated and are doing what they are supposed to be doing. But internally within the Government of Canada, we have our partners. As I mentioned, we were working very closely with the Treasury Board Secretariat of Canada and Shared Services Canada. TBS, they are the authority for the secret domain and below, so we work with them to make sure that the policies that have to be written in order to support the Canadian Medium Assurance Solutions are there for the Government of Canada to be promulgated and used for these services and capabilities. And we are working with Shared Services Canada to make sure that the implementation of these capabilities from an enterprise perspective are done correctly. They are our primary partners within the government, as well as the larger framework that encompasses the other level of the governance. In particular, working with the provincial governments as well as with industry. We have another side of CSC within our IT security branch, which is our cybersecurity partnerships. And they're the ones that we work with and work liaison to for making sure that our partnership with industry is evolved and meets our requirements in ensuring that our capabilities to meet the CMAS are done. Also, it should be noted that with any IT solution, and especially with the medium assurance solutions from CSE and from Canada, that it is all based on a risk assessment. The medium assurance solutions must be based on the acceptance of risk that is involved with the use of that capability. As we put together the reference architecture and as we work with Shared Services Canada and the other departments to implement these solutions, we will assess the risk of saying, used in this environment, these are the risks associated with the use of these technologies to protect the information at the secret level. It is the business owner of the system, the capability that they're putting in, to accept that risk. However, we are designing it to mitigate the risk, to make sure that the acceptance level is as low as can be, to make sure that the system is secured, and that our information is protected. So now we're going to get into a specific use case. You know, I've described the environments that we are using cryptography to protect. We've got the basic, medium, and high assurance. High assurance, very well defined, type 1. Basic assurance using the common criteria and the CMVP as a recommendation. Best of industry products going out there to protect your designated information up to protected B. Designing now the medium assurance solutions with our reference architecture to make sure that our information up to and including secret is protected. So what have we done? So one of the use cases that we're going to go into is the smartphone for classified. As I mentioned earlier, that we are working very closely with BlackBerry right now to develop this solution based on commercial technologies to provide a smartphone that can be used to protect information at the secret level. So what does that come with? That comes with voice, obviously. It comes with instant messaging and email communications. So all three aspects of those capabilities using the BlackBerry service, once we implement it fully, and we've done also a proof of service and a technical proof of service to make sure that the capabilities work, and we're now working with Shared Services Canada to go into a pilot mode at some point in this fiscal year. So with the technical proof of service, we had about 100 users using the phone within Canada. It was primarily to test out to make sure that all the technical services work. It was not intended to be tested overseas, but one of our people that had a phone was going on a business trip to Australia, and we proved that, yes, it does work internationally. So the system is capable of protecting information up to the secret level. So, well, how have we done this? As I mentioned before, there is a balancing act between the business case, the usability of the device, and the security. We have designed the system using commercial technologies to make sure that we have not taken away any of the business functionality and the usability of the device. I had one of the capabilities, I had one of the phones when we were doing the techno proof of service, and yes, there was the extra step of logging into the secure side of the phone, but once you were in, once you've entered the PIN and the access and to get into the secure capabilities of the phone, it acted like a normal smartphone. I had my email, I had my voice capabilities, and I had my IM. Very intuitive, like any other smartphone, any other capability that you're used to, and it worked quite well. As I mentioned before, the issue with the SGSM, the time frame to get it to market, 10-year development, can't change it quickly. The capability that we're doing here eliminates that. Using the software capabilities with the commercial technologies, we can port this capability to other form factors in a much quicker time frame. We are, though, pushing the boundaries of commercial technologies. I'm not to say that this is a quick implementation. We've been working on this for a couple of years with BlackBerry, but this was our first foray into it. Now that we've done this, we've done the work, the modifications to be able to port this to other capabilities, other form factors, will be a lot quicker. In order to ensure the security of the capabilities, we've done this using dual-layer VPN. Make sure that each of the capabilities and all of the two layers are independent of each other, so that if there's a vulnerability found in one of the layers, it's not going to be present in the second layer. So if the first layer of encryption that we're using to surround the data, if there's a vulnerability there and a threat actor, you know, gets into that cryptography, then they're also faced and forced to combat the second cryptographic solution. Also, in between each of the layers of cryptography is monitoring. Monitoring within our Canadian Medium Assurance solution is vital. we have to monitor, and I think that was also mentioned in one of the keynotes on Wednesday as well, to monitor the aspects of the solutions that you're putting in place. Making sure that the cryptographic devices and the cryptographic engines are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Monitoring if they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. That is a key aspect of our CMAS capabilities. Monitoring at each level of the environment to see if there's anything outside of the norm, and so that we can react to that issue right away. Also, by not requiring or not depending on devices that are encumbered by ITOR or any restrictions, we can meet the flexibility of our clients. If they need a device to be used outside of Canada, outside of the federal government, then we can say, yeah, you can take this device with you wherever you want. You know, the only restriction that we do have right now with the smartphone for classified is that the carrier that you're using it on has to allow VPN through their infrastructure. But that's not our, we can't do anything about that. If the carrier doesn't allow VPN for voice or for any data communications, that's their decision point. That is the only time that it wouldn't work. As I mentioned earlier, we are using commercial technologies, the best of industry, going through the CMVP, going through the common criteria to make sure that they are certified through our tailored, if there's anything that we're doing within this environment that is beyond the actual device that's coming out for the industry, if we have a tailored capability that we need to, then we will have a look at those capabilities in-house from a security assessment viewpoint for our tailored design only. Uses dual layer independent cryptography, as I mentioned before. Monitoring between encryption layers, that is key. You cannot deploy a commercial technology capability to protect information up to secret without that monitoring in place. Independent hardware and software, as I mentioned before, so that vulnerability found in one is not there in the second layer. And as well, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the supply chain integrity. Those are all the steps going down to make sure that these devices and the capabilities that we're developing can be used for the secret. In the specific instance of for the smartphone for classified, for the management of those as well, we've been working with BlackBerry to ensure that the management of the capabilities through the BES equipment is adequate for our requirements as well. As I mentioned, the certificate authorities, another key aspect. If you lose a device, we can just revoke the certificates to disable the devices from a cryptographic perspective. So that, again, all the information that are stored on those devices can't be read. So what are our next steps? A lot of work, a lot of interest is still to come. We're currently working on a tablet solution, again, which is using a lot of the same capabilities that we've put into and designed into the smartphone classified. A lot of that reference architecture can be used for the tablet solution. That is the great thing about the medium assurance, reusability. As part of that tablet work, to secure the tablet, again, using enterprise management, again, using Wi-Fi capabilities, using dual-layer VPN, a lot of the same integrity work, a lot of the same work coming out of the smartphone classified, we can reuse in order to engineer and design the tablet solution. Again, this is enabling us to be able to bring modern technology into the classified domain within the government. If we had to rely on a type 1 device in order to secure these capabilities, it would be years before we would have that. You know, working with our partners, working and understanding what's out there, I don't know sure if you've seen the pictures, but President Obama, he carries around with him, I believe it's an iPad, but he already has a capability, they've already worked on there. Again, using defense in depth, multi-layered security, taking away certain of the functionality, because you can't have a device out there that's, you know, fully connected to the internet. You know, our smartphone for classified, it will not connect directly to the internet. It will be on a secret level network. So you have to lock down certain capabilities, certain features, make sure that they're forced to connect only to your infrastructure. So that's part of the monitoring, part of the multi-layered security. But it's already out there. Working with the Government of Canada, again, with shared services and Treasury Board, we are putting these capabilities out there. We are working already with other levels of government to implement and design, as I mentioned, the secure tablet, to enhance our mobile capabilities, to allow for communications at the secret level, and to expand our GCSI, the Government of Canada Secret Infrastructure, which is our main secret level network at the enterprise level that is managed and run by Shared Services Canada. Up until today, the only way that we've been able to implement the GCSI is with Type 1 crypto. That's all that has been available to us. They use Talon cards in order to connect Wi-Fi. They're not that flexible. They're expensive. They are under ITAR control. They are Type 1 device. However, we are working with Shared Services Canada to implement a capability for Wi-Fi using commercial technologies so that we can be a lot more flexible, go into a lot more locations, expand more rapidly the capabilities of GCSI so that you don't have to run wires to every desktop, so that you can take these tablets around your buildings that are, again, secured for secret communications. We're not saying that you're going to be able to take this tablet, go to Starbucks, connect into the Starbucks hotspot and Wi-Fi, and then work on your secret device there. No, obviously you can't do that. It would be the same thing in the paper world. You cannot take a paper document, go to Starbucks, take out that secret document and read it in Starbucks. The same parameters for accessing and using secret infrastructure and secret information applies to the technological world as well. We are just making sure that the use of commercial technologies will allow us to speed up the deployment, speed up the implementation, and the design and development of the capabilities to meet the requirements and the business use of our users. Making sure, though, as well, that the security of our sensitive information is still secure. So with that, I do have some time for questions. Sure. That was my goal.
Okay, if anybody has any questions, please step to the microphone and I'll run down and turn it on.
I think it's commendable what you're doing. I think it's a very good idea to bring it to the 21st century. And I just wanted to know if you're going to have some restrictions on phone calls. So, because if I can hear half the phone call.
Yep. No, that's actually a very good question. As I mentioned, the same restrictions in the technological world apply to the paper world, or the vice versa. The same restrictions apply to the paper world, apply to the technological world, or even just straight conversations. I say you wouldn't take a secret document out and read it on the bus. You wouldn't read it in Starbucks because someone could look over your shoulder and read that document. You wouldn't, if you're with a colleague, if you're at Starbucks or if you're riding a bus, you wouldn't talk about a secret capability out in the open. That's operational security. So operational or OPSEC is a requirement as part of this as well. So you have to be aware of your surroundings. Would you be able to use this phone outside of your building? Yes, that's obviously the main point of creating a smartphone for classified is be able to be mobile. But it's all about the environment that you're using that phone in. So you have to be aware of your surroundings, aware of what's around you before you speak about classified information on that phone. So that is definitely part of it as well.
Hi, I just want to make sure I understood kind of the overall goal. So it's not just the single vendor phone that you're after.
No.
You actually want the spec that any vendor can go along and then, maybe not any vendor, vendors that are going to meet the set of criteria could go along and create a phone that could be purchased and used?
That's the slight difference between our program and the U.S. program.
Okay.
Is that CSC is the design authority for our Canadian Medium Assurance Solutions. So we will work with the vendors to build that solution and say this is the reference architecture for the Government of Canada, whereas in the U.S., NSA has designed the specs where any department then could go and work with any vendor and then still have to certify that solution with NSA and publish it. But we do that work for the Government of Canada. So we will work with the vendors, design the solution. So it is our intent, you know, right now we've been working with BlackBerry for, you know, in my opinion, obvious reasons, Canadian company. We should pick those first. But our intent is to, yes, have multiple solutions at some point for this capability. So that's why we're using, like I say, with the use of commercial technologies, and it's a software-based capability, so that we can then work with other vendors to say, oh, yeah, this is our design, our architecture. How can we then implement a similar capability on, say, an iOS or an Android phone?
Okay.
But we would do that work working with those vendors.
Okay. I have one more quick question. I don't want to, but...
And I've got my people here. Hopefully, I'm not pissing them off by saying things like that, so...
Here's the vision, right. But after the FIPS and Common Criteria, you also mentioned some additional testing. Who performs that additional testing? Is that CSE?
My team. Okay. Yes. Yeah, we have a capability so that for a tailored solution, if it's above and beyond what is provided by, say, a commercial technology, we will do the additional assessment for that.
Okay, great, thanks.
So maybe if I could ask you to back up a couple slides where you looked at the overall solution, forward one actually. So if we look at this list here, it roughly corresponds to the list of collaborative protection profiles associated with CC. So your presentation was on the CMAS solution for mobile. Were you looking for CC validated products for that entire stack?
As I mentioned, that is the cornerstone of the CMAS program, that any component that we design, that any component that we will use in our architecture will have to have gone through the CC and CMVP.
Okay, as in addition to the CMAS program?
No, the CMAS program is the overarching capability.
Right.
So the CMAS program, from our perspective, is programmatic aspect. We are designing the reference architecture.
Okay.
So as we design the reference architecture, saying that you need VPNs, you need firewalls, you need routers, we will select components to go into that reference architecture, and those components will have had to have gone through the common criteria in the CMVP.
Okay.
So the CMAS program is the overarching view of what we're building here.
Okay. So the follow-on, I guess, to my question is, we're an HSM vendor, for example, which isn't listed on your list. Do you see, as new collaborative protection profiles roll out, that additional technologies will be incorporated into these CMAS solutions? Is that the overarching vision? That
and Paul, you can step up, and if I answer this incorrectly, then Paul can certainly answer this. So Paul is my manager who's really running this program for me. But as we develop a solution, as we develop the environment, if we require that type of device, then that will be incorporated into the design of that architecture.
Okay. So then.
The one that we've done specifically is the smartphone for classified. We're now, okay, what are the other aspects? So we're looking at the network design. As we, you know, look at the GCSI, the Government of Canada Secret Infrastructure, okay, how can we adapt the design to protect now the network? What components do we now need to incorporate to protect a network using commercial technologies? So, you know, depending on what the capabilities and the components that we need in order to protect the information, am I going in the right way there, Paul? Or
well, just for everyone else, see. So, first of all, you said that you're HSM.
Yeah.
So there is an HSM within.
Okay.
So there are components. This was not meant to be exhaustive. It'd be too long. And so forth. In terms of developing other PPs, if I remember, so certainly the idea is, as we go through it, we will sort of work with the, I guess, NIAP and so forth, and our areas to look at, is there any other need?
Okay.
Do you want to say anything more on that, Dan? Or?
No, that covers it.
Right. So basically, as we see needs, we'll try and work on it.
Yeah.
And if it's not in the NIAP, as Greg said, we'll do tailored evaluations and so forth. The other thing, I just maybe for the other question, just when you talked about the phone, I wanted to just clarify. Remember, I know you asked about the phone and what we had and would we go with vendors. One thing just to emphasize is that all of this is in the solution for the phone. So the very much the solution is about a solution. It's not just about the device on the phone or one app on the phone. It's a whole bunch of things in there.
If I wasn't clear about that, then I apologize. But yes, it's about the whole environment.
Yeah, and so, for example, we worked with a lot of vendors and so forth. BlackBerry was one, but, you know, we got it from all different things. And another point is it's an architecture with two layers. The layers are supposed to be independent, which means usually we're actually going to two vendors for any specific component, right? But then we have to integrate it together, and we might work with someone to integrate it together. Okay, that's all.
You mentioned that you have supply chain verification. How is that working? Is that being done according to existing standards, or is CSE applying a rigor that's CSE-based? Can you speak a little bit more about the supply chain verification?
As I mentioned, we have another business line called our cybersecurity partnerships that we work with them to deal with the vendors. So if we look at the work that we've done with the smartphone classified, we've worked very closely with BlackBerry to understand their supply chain to make sure that it meets our requirements for the security aspects of this specific solution. So there is no, as far as, like I said, I don't work in that, so I can't answer specifically to the entire program. But as we work with the design and the implementation of specific capabilities for the CMAS, we will work with those companies to understand their supply chain to make sure where their security is built in from day one to make sure it meets our requirements. That will be an aspect that we will ensure or will have to be there for us to accept that solution.
Okay, so
I can't talk to the program at CSE for supply chain verification. That's not me.
Okay.
And I say, if you want, I can certainly take your information and pass it on to the person that runs that program. But like I say, it's another area of CSE that manages that aspect for us.
Okay. Yes, I'd like that very much. Thank you.
Okay.
A question on the tablet side of things.
Yep.
Tablets come in two flavors, effectively. You have Wi-Fi and you have Wi-Fi cellular. Which ones are you looking at? I mentioned this partly because BlackBerry did do their playbook, which had to be tethered to a BlackBerry, which wasn't exactly the best design in the world, quite frankly. So hence the question of, I've got a tablet of my own that I take around with me, but it's Wi-Fi only. So there's no, I could use it in a Starbucks, but clearly, unlike the Samsung Note 3 that I've got, which I can use pretty much anywhere, I'm limited on a tablet. So what's the, are you looking at both options or?
To be perfectly honest, we just really started the work on the secure tablet. I can't really go into the full design because we haven't gone there yet, but I can let you know that the initial implementation that we are looking at is Wi-Fi. So we haven't gone down the road yet of understanding or determining if we would allow the tablets to connect over a cellular service at the current point. So the initial implementation that we are looking at is through Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that will clearly limit people's choices, right? You're
yes.
going to have to be physically in a location where you have that network
availability.
Yes.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Whereas for the phone.
Because as I mentioned, this is for our secret domain.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, as I mentioned, you would not be allowed to, because of operational procedures and policies, take a secret-level device and go to Starbucks and open it up. So the initial implementation, you're right, will be connecting to the Wi-Fi areas of our GCSI once those are configured and set up. That's the initial plan.
Okay.
In fact, the initial setup is using the tablets directly connected through a tether. And then eventually rolling that out as we develop and design the capabilities for Wi-Fi.
Right.
But that's the current plan.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think we got time for one more.
It'll be real quick.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, so I heard Joe talk about plans for basically an identity management infrastructure. So how does this connect with that?
It doesn't.
Bummer.
The ICAS is being built and designed on our designated domain. So there will be, obviously, within GCSI, an Active Directory capability for that network, but this is a totally separate network outside of our designated network. And the ICAS solution is being built for that.
Hmm.
So whether or not there are plans to have some sort of identity management system on GCSI, that I don't know, but that is, the GCSI is being run and managed by Shared Services Canada, so you'd have to talk to them to understand what their plans are for the evolution of their identity management on GCSI.
Oh, good, because I think they're before committee shortly.
Okay. So, but unfortunately, the ICAS solution, the whole identity management capability that they're putting in is for the designated domain.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
We've exhausted the questions.
Excellent. Well, thank you very again. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak to you today.
Thank you, Greg.
because I talked about supply chain stuff on Monday.
Okay.
The OTTPS standard, but something that's going to be interesting to see.
I will pass on your information. I can't guarantee you anything, but I will pass on your information.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so we still have a few minutes before the next scheduled talk, about 5 minutes.
This model.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not like the director, the deputy director. You know, I just work for them.
Okay, here, introduce you as working stiff.
There you go. That'll work too. Somehow.
You actually work. The others just stand around and take credit.
Exactly. Yeah. No. He got done really early, but he left good time.
Well, yeah. We still got it.